Accession number 9794, reel 5.
Lewis, reel 5.
I did say that there were just four of us in the train, but of course there were four Royal Air Force men, and of course Peter Ortez was also with us, so there were five in the carriage, and he would have spoken French quite well, without any doubt at all. But that was one of the things which still surprises me, the fact that we were able to travel from Valence all the way round to Carcassonne, and I have done that journey several times since by train. It's a long way. It certainly took somewhere around about 10 hours, I would have said, on that particular night, and yet not once did anybody come through and ask for tickets, not even a ticket inspector. If you do that journey now, your tickets will be checked. Well, I did it 6 months ago. Your tickets would be checked four times at least. Maybe it was because it was a night train, I don't know, but not once did anybody ask us for tickets. It could have been part of the whole escape routine, I don't know. But certainly it was very thankful anyway to us that we were able to get so far on our way.
And so your papers weren't checked at any time?
We hadn't got any papers. We hadn't got any papers at all, apart from our train ticket. If anybody at any time had asked us for papers, we would have been in difficulty. We'd no passes whatever. Peter Ortez was, the route that we took was not part of, for instance, the Comet escape route or anything like that. It was very much a one-off, haphazard sort of journey that I think that that Ortiz had conjured up out of his knowledge and friendship somehow.
If you had been picked up, would you have been able to prove to the Germans that you were British service personnel? Did you have anything on you?
I think that I had bits of uniform on me. But certainly, we wouldn't... identity discs, that's all. The little identity discs around our neck. Nothing else, because certainly when we left the airfield, we would have left behind any means of identification back home. That was standard practice.
Did you meet Ortiz after the war?
No.
You've never seen him since?
No. In fact, it was... the only reason that I knew his name was Ortiz was because... I'll show you afterwards. Was because apparently he gave his name to our wireless operator. I suppose because he was a wireless operator, he thought, well, you'll be able to put in some code, and he said to Stan Reed, the wireless operator, look, can you code my name in some way so that when you get back, if you get back, you can let the authorities know that it was I that with whom you were in contact that did this. And subsequently, when we got back, Stanley Reed said, well, look, his name was Peter Ortiz. And in fact, and I've got it outside, actually. I don't think I've got them just here. Barbara Yo Thomas was very good some years ago when I was talking to her about it to get in touch with somebody, a name you may also... Alex Murray, does that mean anything to you?
I don't think so.
No, I suddenly, from out of the blue, I got a letter from Mr. Alex Murray in California, said, look, I understand you want to get in touch with Peter Ortiz because of something that happened during the war. He's now severely disabled. And he gave me his address. And so I've got in touch with him then. But that has broken off a bit. I rather fear that he's dead, actually. And I can't find out. I never particularly, because of the work we were doing, particularly never really took much note of the names of the people who helped me. In fact, I didn't even want to know. I felt it was the right thing to do in the circumstances. Subsequently, it became a terrible cross to bear because years later, the Royal Air Force's Escaping Society was formed. I was one of the early members. I was a committee member many, many years ago. I've always been most active. And it was our practice to create links with helpers, to build up a register of them, to bring some of them over to England for holidays, to make regular contacts with them. And it was very disappointing for me to see many of my friends in the Escaping Society kissing and hugging and having joyful reunions with their helpers when I didn't even know who mine were. And it was something that upset me, not greatly, but it didn't go down well with me. Strangely enough, in 1969, I was doing some research. I was looking for something down in the Westminster Reference Library. And whilst I was there, I thought, well, I'll just look around France and things generally. I, being the navigator, I knew roughly whereabouts we were. And as a result of that, I thought, well, I reckon that area there must be a good spot. So I wrote to the Syndicard Initiative at, it could have been Montélimar, I think it probably was. And I wrote and I said, look, at some time during the early part of 1944, I was an airman and so forth, and during my travels, I was located and spent with three of my comrades 3 or 4 weeks with a doctor who had been in the French Indian Army. He was a medical officer in the French Army in French Indochina. He had two nieces, this, that, and the other. And I got a letter back saying, you must be talking about Dr. Sambu, because he fits the description. He had two nieces. The doctor is quite old. The doctor is dead now. His widow is quite old, but one of his nieces is Jacqueline Kern. She lives in Nice. And so I wrote to her, and a good contact was established. And we used to exchange letters over a few months. And that was in early part of 1970. In November 1970, which was the 25th anniversary of the cessation of hostilities in France, the French government invited a number of members of the Escaping Society over to their Armistice Day service. And it was arranged with Jacqueline that she would come to a reception that was being held in Paris with three of her grown-up children, and we would all meet. In the event, although most of the Escaping Society were going on a Royal Air Force plane, I decided I'd go by car with my wife and do a bit of meandering around France afterwards. We had an accident on the way there. My wife was killed. I was badly injured, and I never met Jacqueline. That was that. In 1942, I'm sorry to ramble on like this, but in 1942, the Escaping Society were having another reunion with the Comet Line operation down at Biarritz and Saint-Jean-de-Luz, which was their crossing point on their escape route. I went with them. I took a couple of weeks holiday from work thereafter. I took myself up into the Pyrenees. I'd already arranged to visit Jacqueline in Nice whilst I was over there. But I started up into the Pyrenees. I followed my tracks all the way back. I picked up Jacqueline in Nice, and I found, with the exception of the doctor, who was dead, I found everybody that helped me on the way. I found the first little house that I went to for help. The lady there was still alive. I found the pharmacy. When I got to that little town, Saint-Donat, I walked into the town, and the main square was called Place de Jean Chancel. That was the name. It was named after this man, leader of the resistance, so forth, so forth. I met his widow. He died after the war. She showed me pictures of him receiving the King's Medal, which he was awarded after the war. But the sad thing about it was when the about 12 days after the invasion, the Germans, and of course one must remember that Klaus Barbie was on everybody's lips at this time. He was the kingpin, the king enemy, because we weren't all that far from Lyon. I remember the name very well, Barbie, as soon as he was arrested a few years ago, all came back. But this couple's daughter, their young daughter, she was a teenager, the Germans came to the house looking for her husband, because he was the leader of the resistance. He had disappeared, obviously, and they took the daughter, and eventually they killed the daughter. They gave her a very bad time in the meantime. I won't go into that. But that was a very sad part of it. There again, it was somebody that helped me. And but it was quite marvellous during that couple of weeks that I was able to establish contacts after, 30 years with people that had actually helped me. That's just a nice little rounding off part to that episode, I think.
Well, I'm very glad you said it.